The White House is doubling down on President Trump's threat to shut down the southern border this week because of the tide of migrants trying to cross into the U.S. This weekend, White House aides said the president was not bluffing. Here's Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney on ABC's This Week.
Why are we talking about closing the border? Because not for spite and not to try and undo what's happening, but to simply say, look, we need the people from the ports of entry to go out and patrol in the desert where we don't have any wall.
Alan Gomez covers immigration for USA Today. Alan, start there. Shutting down the legal ports of entry to send agents out to patrol the desert. But critics are saying the huge tide of migrants coming are largely headed for the legal ports of entry seeking asylum.
They're heading to those legal ports of entry seeking asylum. And when they cross over, it's not a question of them trying to evade Border Patrol agents. They're actively seeking them out because they're doing so to request asylum. So, yeah, this strategy of trying to put more people in these unguarded, unwalled sections of the border doesn't seem to jive with what's happening now. Mostly what we're seeing right now are Central American families that are coming across the border. They're coming in groups of 200, 300, 400 people at a time. And yeah, they're not trying to sneak past Border Patrol. They're trying to find them.
Look, talk more about what just closing those ports of entry mean, not just for asylum seekers, but for commerce that comes through. The Washington Post is reporting that border officials have not received instructions on how to close the border. But talk more about what else is coming through there and what the effects would be.
Yeah, for the asylum seekers, the change wouldn't actually be all that dramatic because under the Trump administration, they've been doing something called metering, where they only allow a certain number of asylum seekers into those ports of entry to make the request for asylum. So I'm not sure how much this is going to slow or change in any way the numbers of people coming across. The impact felt here in the United States would be massive. Hundreds of thousands of people cross between the U.S. and Mexico every day. The State Department estimates that $1.7 billion in goods and services crosses that border every day. And it's important to note, it's not just for border communities like San Diego or places like El Paso and Texas. These are supply lines that travel through the entirety of Mexico and the entirety of the United States. Think auto manufacturers in the U.S. that rely on parts that are made in Mexico. Medical device companies that do the same thing. When you think of the groceries that you buy, a lot of that comes from Mexico. And so if there is a closure of all the ports along that southern border, you're probably not going to see your car prices jack up immediately, but your grocery bill may shoot up very quickly.
It's astonishing what happens on that border. A 2007 study from the San Diego Association of Governments and California Department of Transportation found that just long lines and inefficiency at the crossings cost $7.2 billion in lost economic output, 62,000 jobs on both sides of the border. They calculated the economic impact of an extra 15 minutes of border wait time was an additional loss of $1 billion in productivity. And now, you know, this is talking about a shutdown. But there's also the White House threat to cut off aid to El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. Most of the migrants are coming from those countries. How would this work? Isn't this something that the president would have to go to Congress for?
Well, yeah, and that's where it gets a little bit complicated, and trying to understand the reasons behind it are a little bit difficult. As you mentioned, the Congress has the power of the purse. They approved this funding to go to grants and to all sorts of different financial aid to these countries. So it's unclear how a president can just unilaterally cut that off. I'm sure we'll be hearing plenty from Congress about that in the coming days. But separately is the wisdom of the move and what really would be accomplished, because this is money. We're talking about over $500 million a year that go to these three countries. Specifically to reduce violence, to help law enforcement battle drug cartels, to help their judicial systems battle corruption in those countries, and to help improve the economic and educational systems in those countries so that, and specifically targeting at-risk youths.
And by the way, the money doesn't go directly to the governments. It goes largely to nonprofit organizations helping to fight corruption in the government, et cetera. And the State Department says it will work with Congress, but you're saying that the wisdom of cutting it off is what?
Is unknown right now. You know, I really want to hear a more articulate explanation from this administration on why they're doing it, because Trump has tweeted and talked repeatedly about the leaders of these countries not doing enough to stop people from leaving their countries. But a president of Honduras cannot tell a Honduran, you can't leave this country. There are some things that, for example, Mexico could do to better seal off its southern border. But by cutting off all that funding, all that aid, I mean, I've been to these countries and seen computer labs for students that have been purchased with U.S. money. I've seen local community groups that have kind of formed around to create sort of community policing centers in certain districts. And so when you cut off all that funding, all of that goes away. And so it's very difficult to imagine a situation where cutting off all that funding somehow leads to the resolution that Trump wants, which is improved conditions in those countries, which leads fewer of them to want to leave to the United States.
Alan Gomez, immigration reporter for USA Today. We'll, of course, follow this. Alan, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.